Psalm 22. If you're using the Bibles in the front of the chairs, it's on page 629. As Jesus hung on the cross, he was reflecting on the Psalms. One specific psalm, because we know this because he quoted the first line of it. He sang while he hung there and suffered, and sang using his last dying breaths. He sang a song he likely sung as a young child, a young boy in the temple. But it's an important psalm because it's a psalm of David. It's prophetic. It's messianic. And when he uttered those words, any Hebrew who would have heard them or heard of them, of him saying that, would have known exactly what he was speaking of. As he looked down from the cross, he would have seen that song being played out before him. And the first line of Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it describes in a prophetic way so many of the details of Jesus' suffering. The song was written 1,000 years before Jesus' birth, 500 years before crucifixion was even invented, and centuries before the city of Rome, who used crucifixion as a form of capital punishment, was founded. Jesus praised the psalm not as a cry of desperation, but knowing that the details of his final suffering before his death predicted in the psalm are now being fulfilled. And so we see that this is Jesus trusting in his heavenly Father and his plan revealed in Scripture centuries prior. See, on the cross, during the heights of his pain, Jesus was teaching and revealing God's eternal plan for us. And he reminded us through the psalm that no matter what we're faced with, no matter any horrible suffering we may have to endure, we also can continue to trust and the Father, like Jesus was trusting in the Father. Amen. So David wonders in the psalm if God has abandoned him. God isn't responding to his prayers, as we can read. Well, God had delighted to respond and had rescued David's ancestors, that same treatment in reading the psalm doesn't appear to be applying to David. David's enemies take advantage of God's silence and they mock him. They sarcastically imply that his suffering is proof that God must not love him as he once did. But it's not as if David's perception of his enemies are blown out of proportion. They are vicious predators, and David is surrounded. He feels as if his body will collapse under the stress, not to mention the physical harm David's enemies enjoy inflicting. So desperate, David calls out for deliverance. In that same moment of desperation, David invites all of Israel to praise God. His praise is not for God's seeming inaction, but because of His past faithful action on their behalf. So God is not the type of God to abandon the afflicted and the victimized. And just as God heard the cries of His people back in Egypt and delivered them from slavery and provided them food in the wilderness, David is confident that God will move toward the afflicted again and deliver them. David is confident that the whole earth will know the saving and delivering action of God. Both the poor and the rich will bow before God who sustains their life, and all future generations will proclaim the faithfulness of God who delivers and saves forever. So the Psalm of Lament is used 24 times in the New Testament as a way to interpret and explain Jesus' death by crucifixion. Some of Jesus' last words on the cross are taken from the first verse of this psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the sarcastic jabs that David received and repeated and are repeated in the mouths of the Pharisees and the Romans toward Jesus as he hung there. Stripped and left naked in a game of chance, Jesus could look down and count the ribs and the bones of his body. And as Jesus' cross was raised up and lowered down into the hole, many of his bones would likely have been dislocated. So both David and Jesus model for us how to pray while we're suffering. There's no mincing of words. There's a directness in the psalm and the description. There's a brutality to the language. It's raw and it's open. It models how we should express the depth of our pain to God. And like David and like Jesus, we should pray in the hope that God will deliver. So when we look at the ways that we have suffered, it's sometimes easy to think that God has abandoned us or forsaken us, but that's not true. On the cross, Jesus inhabited that forsakenness that we often think we're experiencing. And not simply to sympathize, but to demonstrate that those who place their trust and faith in Him will never be abandoned. See, Jesus rose from the dead. So while it looked like God had left Jesus to die there, God would not allow His precious Son to be abandoned to the grave, and the same goes for all of us. See, Jesus promises to satisfy our afflicted souls with eternal food. He will not abandon to the grave those He has made His family. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we know life will win over our suffering and death. And in the same way David hoped, we will get to sing of that deliverance forever. We do the same, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to open our eyes to see the God who hears our cries. And we pray that when we see Jesus as the one who delivers us, the one who suffered in our place and through that anguish delivers us from our suffering. So we partake of these emblems that represent the body and the blood of Jesus, who gave of Himself, who suffered, who hung on the cross and sang to us while He was there.